So as we start this new year, I want to talk about God's faithfulness. And if you were with us at the end of last year, then you know we've been doing a lot about the fruits of the Spirit. And we've been saying, hey, the Holy Spirit is at work in us and he's producing fruit in our lives. And it's this kind of fruit. And we looked it up in Galatians 5:22. It's our key verse. I read it to you today. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And today we're going to talk about faithfulness. We are going to remind ourselves of how faithful God is. We're going to remind ourselves that he's doing a work inside of all of our lives to make us more faithful. But not only to make us more faithful, but to allow us to walk in faithful obedience to him and allow this faithfulness to come out in our lives. I tell you, if there's one thing that has attacked more in this last recent times in relationships, it has to be faithfulness. It feels like change is the new norm. You know what I mean? We've had a lot of different things going on. We've got the pandemic. We've got this virus. We've got all these different things. But I tell you what's really under attack are relationships at the speed of change. Because it feels like we got to change to progress. It feels like we got to change when it suits. It feels like we just got to change when we want to. Or even when we say to ourselves, I need to. And yet we serve a God who's always faithful. In fact, he says he's the God who changes not. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't change in our lives and progress and move forward and our characters should change and we want to go from glory to glory in the things of God. But when we set our sights on relationship, we're not trying to find a better God. We're trying to get to know God more so we can find a better us. And when we fall in love with those people in our lives, whether it be best friends, whether it be husbands or wives, whether it be boyfriend, girlfriends, our goal is not to try to find a better version. Our goal is to be faithful. And as we are faithful, we know it's going to lead us to greater reward. It's going to lead us to greater blessing, not only in the other person's life, but ours in return. Faithfulness is so key in our relationships. If we don't reestablish faithfulness in our relationships, well, we may not have those relationships at all. And when it comes to the heart of God, he is so faithful. And I wonder even just for a moment if you can think of times when you know that God has been so faithful, where he's just blessed you. You just think this last year, there was a bill I couldn't pay, there was a job I couldn't get, there was a car I couldn't afford, there was an issue I couldn't solve, and he was faithful. It really didn't matter if I cried out at the beginning or I cried out at the end. Our goal is to pray first, but you know what I'm saying? His grace is so good that he was still faithful no matter if I was faithful or not. And the honest truth is most Christians, if we would admit it, we're not that faithful to God in a lot of ways. But what if we start off in 2022, setting in our hearts, dedicating in our spirits, and realizing that the Holy Spirit is at work in my life to produce the fruit of faithfulness, and that I could receive it, and that I would choose to use that to go forward and demonstrate faithfulness in my life. So if we break it down and we think about faith, we say, well, look, faith is the belief. But to be faithful says, I'm going to stand in the belief that I have and I'm going to move forward in it. And then faithfulness has to be the evidence of like, I've just seen this person be dedicated for weeks. I've seen this person become committed for years. I've seen them walk in a 20-year relationship, 25-year relationship, 50-year relationship. And I tell you what, there is faithfulness there. It just looks steadfast. It looks like they've just sworn allegiance to each other. They are dedicated, compassionate, constant, consistent with each other. These are all the things that God wants in our relationship with him, and we have a choice to make. Am I just going to go with the flow? Am I just going to see how it works? Or am I going to make a commitment? Am I going to say, okay, I realize the Holy Spirit is at work in my life and he's producing faithfulness in me. I'm going to partner with that because this is what God always calls for, a partnership. And say, okay, together in Christ, I'm going to walk this thing out. I'm going to live this thing out and I'm going to become who God's called me to be. And I tell you, if we're looking to progress and we're looking to go forward and achieve all that God has for our lives and to make the difference in the world that we yearn for and dream for and maybe even pray for, it's going to be held together with faithfulness as we're faithful with the things of God, as we're faithful with our call, as we're faithful as disciples to seek him every day, as we're faithful to love the world around us. I tell you what, you are layering it up and eventually you're going to go to next level, next level, next level because you are producing, the Holy Spirit's producing this kind of fruit in your life, but you're taking it on board and you're saying, okay, that's me. I'm partnering with this. I'm living this thing out. So come on, we're going to go after faithfulness today. We're going to ask a big question. Are you faithful? You know what I'm saying? Are you faithful in your relationship with God? Are you faithful in the way you serve other people? Are you faithful to your church? Are you faithful to the body of Christ, which is the church? Are you faithful to yourself and following after the things of God? Are you faithful in the commitments that you make? You know, New Year's resolutions are everywhere this time of year, but we know what happens. Everybody expects the flood, whether it be gyms, whether it be sports facilities, whether it be, I don't know, sign-ups to diets or whatever. They expect the influx, but they know after a week or two, we won't need the extra help because naturally people will just drop away because they won't be faithful because it was a spur of the moment decision and they're not sure or they're not hot, they don't know how, or they maybe don't even want to be faithful. They've decided to change again. And I'm saying this, change is great in certain places, but when it comes to our relationships, it's all about faithfulness. And that's what's our key relationship? It's God, our relationship with Him. And I want it to be faithful because the more faithful it is, the more I'm going to see the positive effects in my life and the better I'm going to be for Him in His pursuit of the kingdom, or my pursuit of the kingdom of God. So we're talking about faithfulness. And of course, God's saying, I want you to be faithful to me. And here's some things as we step into this new year, how we can be faithful. We know what the Bible says, so we got to live it out. Can I encourage you, as you're seeking for God this year, maybe you're going to do the Bible in 1 year. I would love you to go for that. Nikki Gumbel does a Bible in 1 year. There's plenty of other people that does a Bible in 1 year. But we're kind of getting connected now because we like the Alpha. Nikki does Alpha. We like what they're about, and it's pretty awesome. And I say, look, take that 15, 20 minutes every day. You'll read the whole Bible in 1 year. No sweat, no problem. It seems impossible, but it won't be if we stick at it faithfully every day. And remember, the Holy Spirit's producing this in your life. And if we know the Bible, then we can live the life that God's called us to. What else? We need to be faithful in our relationship to God and pursue Him. It's not just a lazy kind of attitude. It's not just a lazy faith. It's not just a lazy grace that we have, but it's one that's active. It's one that pursues, and it's one that goes after. And then, of course, we want to walk our faith out. We just don't want to just wait. I mean, I want to walk my faith out. I want to walk with God. I want to see what He's saying. I want to hear His voice. I want to know His call. And I want to actively walk into the call of God on my life, because I know He has one, and He's got one for you. And He says, I want you to walk into this. Now, here's what I love about the end of a year coming into the next. It really is no different, other than there's something in us that says, okay, there's a reset here. There's a restart here. The world takes it. The calendar takes it. I mean, even, I guess, the environment seems to take it. I mean, every which way you look, everybody seems to take it. So why not take the opportunity of the new year and say, okay, whatever has been before, whether it be last year or last 2 years or last 10 years, let's make changes, positive changes, where we said ourselves, okay, I'm being faithful this year. Faithful in my pursuit of God, faithful in my reading of the word, faithful in my attendance, faithful in my serving. I'm literally going to make a significant change, and I know the Holy Spirit's after me. I know He's going to help me. I know He's going to enable me to make a difference. The Holy Spirit is working in us to make us more faithful, and this fruit is coming out in our lives. And I guess the first thing we need to start is we need to recognize, okay, to be faithful, we need the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. To be faithful, we need God to work in our lives. And if we're trying to go here, there, and everywhere, and then at the last minute bringing God into it, then I don't know how we're going to get this faithfulness, because I've tried to be faithful in my strength. I fail miserably. What about you? But if we would recognize that it's the work of the Holy Spirit, then if it's the work of the Holy Spirit, I need to partner with the Holy Spirit. I need to get close to the Holy Spirit. I need to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Then I won't just be frustrated after 6 months when I say to myself, okay, I haven't really read, but I'm frustrated in my relationship with God. No, we've got to get real and go, okay, well, if you haven't read the book, if you haven't spent time in the living word of God, then there's no wonder you're frustrated. I mean, a relationship that's not maintained, a relationship that hasn't really been maintained or looked after or developed in 6 months, isn't really going anywhere, and it's going to lead to frustration. But here's the incredible thing. God does not get frustrated with us. He loves us, and He says, come on, I am praying for you. I am pursuing you. I love you. And whether it be a new year or a new day, He says, I'm ready. I'm ready if you're ready to change, and I'm ready to help you. In fact, I've already went halfway, if not more, and all I need you to do is partner with me and come after me. And so I say, look, if we're serious Are we going to be faithful for God this year? Then we've got to recognize we need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God, and we've got to stay close to Him. And it's through that relationship, it will make all the difference. And then the second thing, of course, is we've got to play our part. I mean, it's like a team sport, really, isn't it? It's a team sport. But it's not a team sport if it's just one-sided. It's got to be both. It's got to be all of us working together. And of course, we're part of the body of Christ. But if we just do our own thing and forget about the head or forget about everybody else, then we won't step into. In fact, we won't be faithful with what the word has said. We won't be faithful. We won't know how to be faithful. And so there's many different layers to this thing. I want to be faithful to what God says, but I've got to be faithful to the word to know what God says. I've got to be faithful to what He says and then walk this thing out. And so I've got to know God, and I've got to pursue this, and I've got to be faithful to it. I've got to be consistent. I've got to be steadfast. And I tell you, these are hard things to do in our own strength, but God is with us. And so how can I let God work more in my life? Well, it's really simple. We let God work through us. I mean, we let God work through us because we recognize if I could let Him work through me, then He will use me and my faithfulness will just rise. Because it's one of those things, you don't sit around and wait for faithfulness. You actively seek God. And as you're seeking God and praying to God and hearing from God and in the presence of God, you move forward with God. I mean, this is the lesson that we learn from the early disciples. The moment you're saved, go into all the world. The moment you're saved, get baptized. The moment you're saved, share your faith. The moment you're saved, get filled with the Spirit. If you're missing any of these things, get them, but keep going because we're always called to go. And God says, as you are going, receive these things. As you're going here, as you're going there, trust me, we're living by faith, and people that live by faith are faithful if we stand on the beliefs that we have and we use the beliefs that we have and we live these things out. And so what we want is faithfulness. We need this faithfulness, and we want to be faithful to the call. We want to be faithful to the pursuit of God. We want to be faithful in a relationship with God, and I want to be faithful as I grow in the things of God. And I tell you, God wants to work through your life. I don't know how to make it any clearer. He really, really wants to work through your life, and he really doesn't mind what you've come from, what you've done, where you've been. I mean, He doesn't want you to continue in that because He's transformed you, or at least if you don't know Him, He wants to transform you. But He says this, don't let your past become a burden that prevents you from stepping into all that I have for you. Let it be a blessing, because I'll turn it around and I'll use what hurt you before to become an instrument of healing for people in this season and for people in the next. And what used to be a snare will now become a blessing. What used to be something that hurt will now become something that heals and transforms the people around you. So come on, we have to go for this thing. And we have to ask ourselves some questions. Are you where you want to be as we look at the start of this year? Sometimes we don't know what we want until we ask a question and then we find out by the answers. Are you where you want to be? If you think about the dreams and the plans and the purposes that you would love on your life, even if you're unsure of what God says, what's the dreams and plans that you have? Are you where you want to be? Maybe it's like you're not even dreaming, or maybe you've had a dream, but you're not sure how to get there, or maybe you've been dreaming and planning, but you've never stepped into it, and you know that you should, but you're just fearful. I asked you the question. Are you where you want to be? These are important questions that will lead to important answers. And if you're living and breathing, you got to ask this. And the chances are you're going to say, no, not really. Well, if that's the case, then good news. God says, come with me. Come with me, and we're going to do this thing together. Come with me and be faithful, because I have been faithful to you, and I will help you. So what else? So have you achieved all that you want and what God has for you? I mean, think about this again. Maybe you've had a word from God. Maybe you've been dreaming with God. Have you achieved it all yet? Have you achieved it? Maybe you're 20, maybe you're 40, maybe you're 60, maybe you're 90. I would love it. I don't know if anyone is 90 that watches this online, but hey, if you're old and you don't mind telling us, send it in the chat. We'd love to know, or send it in a private message, because we want to know, like, we want to be a blessing, obviously. But can I tell you that the word is full of people at all ages? That's why you got to know the Bible. It's full of people of all ages having kids in their 90s. You know what I mean? I'm not saying you're going to have a kid in your 90s. You're probably saying, that's the last thing I want. But I tell you what, it does not matter what age you are, your background, or what you have done. If we trust God, the call of God is always greater. If we pursue God, the pursuit of God is always greater than any other thing that might try to hold us and hinder us or has successfully held us back in the past. Even yourself, if you would submit yourself to God and be faithful in your pursuit of God, watch how his plans are better and greater and higher than your plans, and they will come to pass because he's faithful. And the word says that if he has begun a good work in you, then he will see it to completion, and we can be sure of that. That's why we serve such a good God. Number three, are you prepared to set goals and dreams to change? Because maybe you say, okay, I haven't achieved, or there's dreams that I still haven't stepped into, but are you ready now this year to set some fresh dreams and goals and say, okay, I might do it fearfully, I might do it with a tiny bit of doubt, but I'm going to do it in faith because I know that God has something for me, and I know what he's calling me to, and I know that my life is important in the pursuit of the kingdom of God, because God chooses to use each and every one of us to make a difference in this world. Together, we're far stronger. Together, we're better. And if we're missing any one of those parts, we are not as effective as the body of Christ, because we can't be. God's called us to be a body. And if we're missing any part, it's crucial. Every single part is crucial. You may feel insignificant, but you are not. So I'm telling you this with boldness. Why don't you write down some goals? Why don't you pray about it? Why don't you say, God, okay, my pursuit this year is I'm going to be faithful in my call towards you. I'm going to be faithful as I would read and pray. I'm going to be faithful as I would attend. I'm going to be faithful as I would serve. I'm not going to be in and out. I'm going to be constant because, God, I know that you are faithful. Come on, think about how faithful God is. He has never once forgotten us. He has never once neglected us. He has never once got tired of us. He is always so faithful. And the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, the same Holy Spirit that worked through Jesus all the way through his life on earth to see him perform signs, wonders, and miracles and live out the life that God called him to, is the same Spirit that's available to us. And it says in Galatians 5:22 that he is producing this kind of fruit in your life. And part of that fruit is faithfulness. So we can trust God and step into and become like him because he's calling us to be imitators of his son. Amen. So this is us. Instead, when we move forward, we want to ask ourselves another question. As we look at these questions, as we think about these questions, we don't want to get stuck looking on the outside and say to ourselves, well, the reason I didn't achieve was because of this thing or that thing. And they may well play a part. Come on, we've been in lockdown. So if your dream or idea was always outdoors to do something there, then of course you couldn't do it. But can I tell you this, that the mistake could be that you think that it's always about that. When I say the first place to start is your heart, and then see what happens after that, because you could be free and not free. You could have all the time in the world and not use your time. You could blame this thing, that thing, and the other thing, and really it's about an introspective work that we need to do, and it's about our hearts, because here's what it says in Proverbs 4:23, and we remind ourselves of this right from the outset of this year. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Wow. Here's God speaking right from the Old Testament, telling us, I know you're going to think that it's always the exterior that affects everything, but start with your heart. Because it's about guarding your heart. It's about protecting your heart. And if you could protect it, if you could keep it right, it will affect every area of your life. If you don't, it will do the opposite. It will do the absolute opposite. And so you look in your life and maybe you're saying to yourself today, well, okay, I didn't see my goals achieved. I didn't step into the dreams and destiny. I feel like this slipped away. Check your heart first before we continuously blame somebody else or find someone else or something else to blame. Is my heart numb? Is it cold? I mean, and how do we know this? Because, I mean, what does the word say? We want to know what the Bible says, and maybe we're cold towards it. Maybe we're cold towards what God says, and we're not really in his presence. And if our hearts come alive in his presence, then is there any wonder that your heart's not alive because you haven't been in his presence? And yet the moment that we would just say, Lord, help me, he comes and he does something transformational. But if our hearts are numb, if our hearts are deceived even, if our hearts are just worried and full of just the opposite of peace, they're just full of worry, they're full of distress, they're full of brokenness, then we need an intervention from God, and we need the Holy Spirit to come and speak boldly into our lives. You see, pain is real. I mean, we can't get away from this. Bills are real. Pain is real. Sickness is real. I mean, life is real. And it's crushing. And it wants to weigh us down. And it wants to prevent us. And it wants to hold us back. And I tell you, it's what do we do with all of that stuff? And if we don't guard our hearts, and if we don't look to our hearts first, we're going to say it's always out there. And yet, when out there gets better, if our hearts are not right, we're not going to do anything. We're going to be even more depressed. We're going to be even more distraught. We're going to be even more just feeling at odds with ourselves, because we're going to say, oh, look, it got better weather. The conditions got better. I felt better. Everything else was different, but I still couldn't go for it. What's going on, Lord? As Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. You see, if our hearts become dull or hard, numb, deceived, then every thought, every action, and every word will be affected. But if my heart can stay soft, and it can stay open, and it continue to receive from the things of God, and continue to be a sponge even when you've been hurt, I mean, people are going to let us down. And so then we say to ourselves, I'm going to change my whole approach. And then maybe some change is needed, but it might just be about the situation. And we stay close to God, and we keep our hearts open, because we recognize that that is still the correct posture. That is still the correct posture to step into all that God has for us, in spite of what we've been through before. And so we say, God, come and heal me rather than come and make my heart hard. Lord, come and restore me rather than just keeping my heart bitter. You know, come and warm me up, Lord, rather than my heart staying numb or keeping everybody at distance, because it is no way to live. And remember, every action, every thought, every reaction, every word, every mood, it will all be affected by our hearts. But if we can keep our hearts soft, if we can keep our hearts open, there's no limits to what God can do. And how do we do that? Stay faithful to his word. Stay faithful to his presence. Stay faithful to what he's called you to, on forgiveness, laying down your heavy burdens, taking up a yoke that's easy, a burden that's light, taking up a following after him, shining bright, going forward even in the midst of despair, pouring out your heart on him as you go forward in the things of God. I mean, the word is full of all that God calls us to do. And as we stay close to the Spirit, he leads us, and he is gentle, and he is kind, and he is generous, and he restores, and he is beautiful, and he is lovely. And so if we get consumed by everything else, it drags us away from the very thing that we need. And our source is Jesus, and he will transform, and he will change. So stay close to the source. Let's be faithful in our pursuit of him. And so last question today. How will I be faithful this year? How are you going to be faithful this year? This is what I want to know. How are you going to be faithful this year? And I thought about three things. I thought about God, ourselves, and everybody else. How am I going to be faithful to God this year, number one? How am I going to be faithful to myself? And then how am I going to be faithful to others? Because ultimately, that's where God wants us to get to. He wants us to look to him first. I mean, he's transforming us from the inside out. And the ultimate goal is to affect people around us, whether it be Christians or non-Christians. We are here to make a lasting difference. And so I want to ask the question, how are we going to be faithful this year? And I forget last year, because already you might be discounting yourself and saying, okay, I tried all this, but it didn't work. I'm just saying, how are we going to be faithful to God? Here's what Hebrews 11 says. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. So here's the good news. God's already given you a measure of faith. So you've got this faith, but you've got to exercise it back to God. You're going to use it and say, okay, God, I believe in faith in you. But it goes on to say, whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see, if we would recognize that our faithfulness to God is linked to our rewards, our faithfulness to God is linked to the outcomes in our lives. As we're faithful to the things of God, then we get this flow that comes into our lives. Why? Just because being in his presence is incredible. Every good gift comes from heaven above. Every good gift comes from God. Nobody can give gifts like God. He's incredible. Because nobody else is good like him. He is good. He is love. He's never been anything else but good and full of love and full of grace. And so as we stay close to him, we get everything that we need for everything that we need. I mean, it's that simple. We get all that we need for every situation. So I'm telling you this, be faithful to God. Come on, we go back to it. Galatians 5:22. the Holy Spirit is producing this kind of fruit in your life. And part of that fruit is faithfulness. The Holy Spirit's at work in us. If we're close to Him, He's doing the work that we need. I mean, go to the gym, do the New Year's resolutions, do all the other self-help books. But I tell you what, God is our source. God is the one that's going to change us. If we are faithful to Him, we will see the best fruits and the best difference in our lives. Come on, let's go for it. Number two, we got to be faithful to ourselves. You've got to be faithful to yourself. What I mean by that, you got to be like, I know we're automatically just saying, you know, self-love, self-care. I get it. But I tell you what, if you were in those early years and you were Peter and you were Paul and you're getting crucified upside down in AD 70, I mean, there's no self-care left at that point. Or you're John the Baptist in AD 92 and you're writing the book of Revelation and you're stuck on an island, which is basically a prison camp breaking up rocks. Well, the last thing you're thinking about is self-care. So I get it, but I don't. I'm just saying this. Let's make sure that we don't get the wrong end of the stick or take it too extreme. Look after ourselves, of course, but what I'm really talking about being faithful to yourself is using what God's given you. Don't lose it, use it. Come on, God has blessed us with what we need. He has positioned us, He has provisioned us, and He has given us what we need to make a difference in the world. But if we don't do it, we're gonna be unfaithful to ourselves. So I'm saying be faithful to yourself. And the story I want us to think about is in Matthew, and it's the story of the talents. You got the five talents, you got the two talents, you got the one talent. Three servants depicting a picture of heaven on earth. It's a story, it's a parable, it's something to reveal to us the kingdom of God. And of course, you got the story of the five talents, and he takes it, and it says that he uses it, and he takes it. The talent could be gold. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean talent as in your talents and abilities, but we're going to apply it to that today. Most likely back then it meant financial, it meant gold, it meant reward. And so, but either way, the principle doesn't change. You take what God has given you, whether it be finances, whether it be talent, whether it be abilities, and you take those and you don't keep them to yourselves, but you invest them, you trade them. And the guy with five gets 10, and the guy with two gets two more. But the guy with one, he's fearful and he keeps it to himself. He says he actually buries it. And when his master comes back, he gives him the one back. Can I tell you, God's not looking for your one life back. He's looking for you to lay down your life and to see multiple lives affected from it. He's looking your life to be a multiplication. He's looking your life to be a seed that roots something far greater. He's looking for your life to go into the ground and be a seed. And out of that grows something incredible. You know, that seed becomes a tree. And out of that, birds nest in the tree. And so many more get blessed, not just you. So I'm telling you this, you can keep your life for yourself and be a blessing. I get it. But God said, lay down your life and take that two and make it four. Take that five and make it 10. Because the one-to-one is not what God's after. He gave you your life. He doesn't want your life back. He wants you to lay down your life in the pursuit of the kingdom. And that'll be a blessing to everybody else. And let's see that multiplication. So here's the story. I want to read a couple of quick verses. Matthew 25, 21. It says that the guy with five comes back and he says this. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The second servant gets exactly the same word. You've been faithful with a few things. Now I'm going to give you a possession over many things. I'm going to make you ruler. I'm going to position you. I'm going to raise you up. In fact, I think that all the guys started off with one and they just progressed. But this silly last guy decided to stay safe. Can I just encourage you, watch out for the word safe. I'm not saying don't be unsafe, but I tell you what, if we get so consumed with safe, we're not going to step into the things that God's called us to. When we're on the edge of things, we're right on the edge and we're living in the things of God and the will of God, it's not always going to be safe. It's going to be risky. And that's faithful. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying be reckless, but I'm saying if we are concerned solely with safety, we're going to miss out on what God's called us to. Because safe is a relative word. It gets us into this position of just staying here, never going there, never taking a chance, never taking a risk, never stepping out in faith, and maybe never even getting out of bed. But life has to be lived. Come on. Life has to be lived. And so we're going to be faithful to ourselves. Here's what it says to the last servant. He says, therefore, so the master was angry, and he says, verse 28, therefore take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. Wow. Take the talent from them and give it to the one that has 10. Now, you can focus that and say, well, God's so mean and he's going to take my talent from me. But he says, absolutely not. But he's saying, look, life is going to strip you of these things. Life is going to take from you of these things. And life's going to take. But why not invest your life into the kingdom of God? And even though some things might be taken from you, watch how God multiplies from you. I tell you, you cannot keep if you try to keep it, you lose it. If you would give it away, you would find it. That's what God says with our lives. Come on, this is the way we are called to live. And then you try to hold on to it, you're just losing it. I mean, it's that car that you love and you never want to sell it. I mean, all that's happening every day, its value is going down. You know, it's like even banks. What's the point even saving your money right now? Because all it does is keep it safe, but it's not really doing anything with it because there's no real interest. I mean, it's 0.1 or something ridiculous like that. So you might as well keep it under the bed and then go do something crazy. I don't know. But the point is this, is your life. It's your time. It's who you are. Be faithful with what God has given you. And the most faithful, precious thing you have is your life, is your abilities. Lay them down at the foot of the cross. Go for the things of God. Plant them as a seed into his heart and watch how God works through you. And then lastly, this is why we got to do it, because we are here for others. How are we being faithful to others? Come on, the two commandments Jesus gave us in the New Testament was love the Lord with everything that you have, basically. And then it turns around and says this, like, lay down your life for your friends. Love your neighbors. Love your neighbors. Why do we do the hampers? To love our neighbors. Why do we go out every day and be a blessing? To love our neighbors. You know, this is what we are here for. How am I being faithful to that? I'm here to love my neighbors. I'm here not just to love my friends. I'm here not just to love my family. I'm here to love my neighbors, which literally means I'm here to lay down my life for my neighbors. I'm here to serve my neighbors. As Jesus famously said, I haven't come to be served, even though that's what I deserve. I have come to serve you, even though that's not what you deserve, because I'm about grace and mercy. Guys, come on, how are we going to be faithful to God this year? How are we going to be faithful to ourselves this year? And how are we going to be faithful to others? Let me give you a final set of verses that I believe just a word from God today to bless your heart. Here's what it says as a call to actions. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It goes on to say this in verse 19. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Don't prevent him from doing his work in your life, in other words. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but take them for real. If God has put a word in your heart, if you've had words over your life, it's time to step up to them. Don't shrink back from them. By faith, step up. Be faithful to what God has put on you. But test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. Come on, this is a word of God over our hearts today, over our lives. I want to tell you, if you don't know Jesus, it's time to put your trust in him. We're going to do it today. The Bible says if you would believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, in other words, give your life to him, put your trust and belief in him, then you would be saved. Your sins would be taken from you. You would have a brand new start here, and your destiny, your future would be set, and your home in heaven would be taken care of. I want to urge you to think about that today. I want to urge you to pray that today. I want to urge you to live that life out. And if you are a Christian and you've been walking with God, come on, let's get an extra spring in our step. Let's be faithful, because the Holy Spirit is producing this kind of fruit in my life. He's working, and the Holy Spirit's working in you. I want to pray right now that you would experience that afresh. And as we step into this new year, come on, we're going to be faithful to the people around us. We're going to be faithful to ourselves, and we're going to be faithful to God and all that he has called us to. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. I pray this simple word would go into our hearts and it would radically change us. Lord, we are not prepared to stay the same any longer. We are here for change. Lord, I love you, I worship you, and I pray, Holy Spirit, you would meet with your people today. Anybody who's far from you, come on, let's come home. Jesus is ready. Anybody who doesn't know you, Jesus is here. He's in your room, he's in your life, he's right there. The presence of God is there. Simply ask him into your life and then pursue him every day. Lord, I pray for transformation this year. I pray, Lord, we're going to rejoice always. I pray that we're going to go forward in the things of God, and we are going to be faithful as you are faithful to us. Holy Spirit, help us and enable us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, Amen. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. We're so blessed to have you again. If we can help, it's hello@vibeandi.com. If you would like prayer in any form, it's prayer@vibeandi.com. Enjoy this last song. Be blessed. And if you're in the local area, come check us out. If not, stay tuned online. We're going to continue to make it better and better every single week. I know this last few weeks have been busy, but trust me, it's going to get better and better. And the Word of God is getting better and better. And I encourage you, continue to go from glory to glory in the things of God. Amen.